This is your friend John Walden, Kyle Spring. We're continuing our studies in the book of the Revelation. A wonderful book. Not a closed book, as many seem to think. The Lord said this about the book of Daniel, but he never said it about the Revelation. In fact, he said, don't seal it up, because the time is at hand. It is possible to understand the book of the Revelation, but only as we remember that it is a book of symbols. The symbols of the book of the Revelation are explained either here, where they're given, or as elsewhere in the Word of God. Don't depend on your imagination, but turn to the rest of Scripture and see what he tells us about them. Now, we saw that the book of Revelation is divided into three parts by the statement given in chapter 1, verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen. This would be the vision of the Lord Jesus in chapter 1. The things which are, the history of the church, written ahead of time in the seven letters to the churches in chapters 2 and 3. And then beginning with verse 1 of the fourth chapter, the things which shall be after these. So everything from Revelation 4 and verse 1, we believe, is future. Now we have read about the opening of the seals. In the fourth chapter, the Lord was shown on his throne. In chapter 5, there was a seven-sealed book, which we saw as the title deed to the world. And only the Lord Jesus has the right to open this. Only he has the right to judge. Now, six of these seals are opened in chapter 6. And as Mr. H. Ironside points out in his very excellent book, Lectures on the Revelation, you should get hold of that book if you're interested in studying this further, H. A. Ironside, Lectures on the Revelation. He says that the wrath of the Lamb, revealed through the six seals, is a picture of the beginning of sorrows. While the wrath of God, revealed after the seventh seal is opened, is a picture of the great tribulation itself. Now, these are two halves of a seven-year period prophesied in the Old Testament by Daniel. We believe that it is future. We do not believe that the church will go through the tribulation or any part of it, nor any part of the church. And we believe that the people who were set before us in chapter 7, and this is a parenthetical chapter, this is a chapter where the Lord waits for a little while until something is done before the judgment actually falls. We believe that the people brought before us here are an earthly people. Now it says, after these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now, the sealing of these people must take place before this judgment can fall. The four angels standing in the four corners are holding the four winds of heaven, the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, certainly brings before us the four Gentile world powers in the book of Daniel. And I believe, as many commentators say, I believe that this is simply the holding back of the coming of the last Gentile world power, that is, the Roman Empire revived, holding this back until these servants of God are sealed. Now, who are these servants of God? Well, we're told in verse 4, I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed in 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but I'm trying to teach the Bible, and I should teach it as I see it. Any church, any cult, any sect which claims to be, or to have among their members, 144,000, is mistaken. I'm saying that as charitably as I know how. They may be sincere, but they are mistaken. And if someone tells you he's part of the 144,000 or hopes to be, just ask him which tribe. For this is plainly stated to be 12,000 out of each tribe. Never in the Word of God does he name the tribes of Israel when he means anyone but the people of Israel, the children of Israel. Remember that although God has set the children of Israel aside in this present time, he is going to take them up again during the Great Tribulation period, and there are going to be believers. He's going to take the Jews back to their land in unbelief, but many of them will believe, and he will seal 144,000 during this time. Notice that the tribe of Dan is omitted. I don't know why, but many leaders of the Jewish people believe that the tribe of Dan is to be the tribe from which the Antichrist will come. Instead of Dan, there are two members of the tribe of Joseph, both of Joseph's sons, Manasseh as well as Ephraim. That is, Ephraim carries the name of his father Joseph, and Manasseh is mentioned also, so that makes the full number the 12 tribes. After this I beheld a more great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now just as the first group were definitely Jewish, so this group are definitely Gentiles. They come from all kindreds, all nations, all people, all tongues. Just as the first group represents those who have accepted their Messiah and so preach him, the second group represents those who have believed this preaching, and they too have received him. Now they are not a heavenly company. They are not part of the church. The church is taken to heaven at the beginning of chapter 4. Well, you say, will people be saved after the church is gone, after the Holy Spirit is gone? Why, certainly all of these people in chapter 7 will be saved during the first part of the Great Tribulation. And when he was asked who these were and said that he didn't know in verse 14, the angel said to him, these are they which came out of Great Tribulation. Literally, the tribulation, the great one, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. Now this marks it as being an earthly company. This tells that they will be in the earthly temple, which will be restored during the millennial reign of Christ. And it tells that they will be here on this earth because it says, He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them, or literally spread his tabernacle over them. And notice that they are not saved to the enjoyment of heaven, but to the enjoyment of earth. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. They will be led to the living fountain of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And these are included in the Old Testament where the Lord prophesied of millennial blessing. Now, these are the same people, I believe, that are described in Matthew chapter 25. The nations who will hear the gospel through the converted Jews during the tribulation period. Notice things that people are saved in the same way in any age. If I'm speaking to someone who isn't saved, don't wait for some future time. Because salvation always comes through being washed in the blood of the Lamb. They stood before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. And we were told they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. There is no other hope of salvation for any of us, except through the precious shed blood of our Savior. If he is not your substitute, you are not saved. And you never shall be saved unless you're willing to accept him as your substitute. Now, if you reject the Lord Jesus now, is there a chance of your being saved in this coming period of time? According to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, there is no possibility of a present-day Christ rejecter being saved in the future. There he plainly tells us that those who rejected the Savior, he said they all will be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And it even says that God shall send them strong delusion that this might take place. In other words, if you reject the Lord Jesus now, what makes you think that you would even want to accept him then? Some of you have had many opportunities. You've heard the gospel ever since childhood. You can tune in almost any day on the radio and hear the gospel. You have a Bible or could have one at very low cost. You have rejected your Savior. There is no hope for you unless you're willing to reverse that decision here and now. Like the five foolish virgins in Matthew's gospel, you'll be left outside when the Lord Jesus comes back. Now this parenthetical portion, this parenthesis in chapter 7, is before the opening of the seventh seal, which we shall look at in our next study. This is a holding up of judgment in order that those who have believed in him might be sealed. And for that matter, God is holding up judgment now so that some of you might come to Christ and be saved. Had you received the Lord Jesus as your Savior the first time you heard the gospel, you might have been used of the Lord a great deal in winning others for Christ. And those of you who are the Lord's, remember that God is not delaying the coming of his Son because he has forgotten his promise, but simply because he is waiting to be gracious. Father, we ask you to bless thy word to all who have heard it today, in our Savior's name. Amen.